God, prayer in 3, 2, 1. Dear God, open my eyes to the beauty of this day. Let me see, hear, and feel the beauty around me. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. The one and only Jesse Joyce.
What's up, everybody?
That is beautiful. I'm telling you, I like it. I like warning God. A prayer's coming.
Yeah.
God must be busy because he had to give him, like, a whole 3-2-1 thing.
Well, I've really kind of fucked myself because, like, now, like on the in the car on the way over, I was like, shit, I got to come up with, like, another way to do that.
So, I don't know how many
the
billion...
The well is running dry.
Very stressful, praying.
There's a few billion people on the planet. And Jesse says, hey, down here, Lord.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. KeithandtheGirl.com/feedback to interact with us. Before we get to you, let's talk about somebody not here.
All right.
How's our buddy Dan Allen? And his Jewish girlfriend.
I have no idea. He has abandoned us as friends completely.
How's his temple studies? He doesn't talk to you about it?
You know, I think the process is rolling. You know, like, I'm just waiting to see, like, you know, the Facebook thing has, like, your religious affiliation.
Right.
I just keep waiting to get that bullshit announcement that says, you know,
he's Jewish.
8:21 p.m., Dan's a Jew. You know, like, that kind of thing.
I hear if you change it on Facebook and MySpace, you're officially a Jew now. You don't have to really go through what you used to. The internet is a really great place, is what
that
I'm saying.
So much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse's friend Dan met at it's a Jewish meeting place that he met, right?
It was a Jewish singles event. Yeah,
and he told this
which
street.
Is so obnoxious to go to if you're not Jewish. Because, like, of all the religions, the Jews are one of the most, like, no, we will stay together. We will, like, it's such a big deal. It's such a,
Well, yeah, and kind of almost furthermore, it's like, this girl's not, like, young. She's, like, 36 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So... she basically, like, has probably had enough relationships that failed that she finally said, fuck it. Like, none of that has worked out. You know what'll work out? A Jew. And so she very specifically, like, went to this event to meet a Jew.
It's kind of also like going to any other meeting like that. Like, if you're going to I need a rich person event and some guy with, like, no money goes and you met him and suddenly you click, but... You wanted a rich guy, like whatever it is that you want. It's not
your analogy cleared it up any. I think that was entirely unnecessary. Like everybody, pretty much, I think was on board.
I thought it was very good, and I thought,
if you go to a meet a rich guy event and you're a poor guy, what the?
Are those events.
Are there?
Do you know that there's this woman who hooks up very rich guys with gorgeous girls. And if you're a gorgeous girl, you have to pay $100 for her to hook you up with one of these guys. And if you're a guy, you have to have a certain amount of money, which is millions of dollars. And you have to pay $10,000 for her to hook you up with, like, top-of-the-line girl. And, yes, she does this. She hooks up people like that.
What kind of a fucking loser do you have to be to not get laid on your own with millions of dollars? You know, like the fact that you're already a millionaire and you drive a Porsche or whatever. And then you're like, well, I better go on
where can I find
$100
millionaire harmony.org? You know, I can have them hook me up.
I'll explain this Dan thing. Let's say you're a zoo animal.
Sure. Okay.
And you're a zebra.
Right.
And you went to an all elephant party.
Yeah.
And an elephant said,
I see what you guys are doing,
only...
and it's not nice. It's really just not nice.
But you'd have to go in an elephant costume.
Right. And the elephant would say, I only want to be with an elephant and move to London.
And he says, well, I'm an elephant for the first 5 dates.
And then they go, then do you finally... like... And then the elephant in London goes, hey, you like peanuts? And the zebra, pretending to be an elephant, says, I don't know what peanuts are. And then the elephant says... What the fuck? And cuts off the zebra's balls. That's my guess, anyway.
So, you lost. Who's the peanut in this analogy?
Non-kosher food, I guess.
Oh, yes. All right.
See, I know about analogies.
But yeah, we met her the other night before they left for Utah because they're going to shop for property in Utah, like Dan has always dreamed about.
Wait, Utah? I thought they were going to London.
No, they are. But, like, yeah, so he has, like, basically a month to, like, put his affairs in order. And then suddenly she's inspired. I guess she's always wanted
a
land in Utah or whatever.
For a backup. Like a
I swear to God. Yeah, like if you had fucking asked Dan 2 months ago, like, hey, you want to maybe go check out some property in Utah? He would have gone, fuck Utah.
Okay, you know?
Like that's exactly what he would have done.
That makes sense.
But now suddenly he's just like, this is literally, I think I told you that said this on the show
the
other night.
When you met this girl, you're like, okay, I get it. I get what's twisting his brain.
She's very pretty, but, you know, there's a lot of girls who are very pretty, and I, as much as, like, you know, I've gotten, you know, caught up in the, in the very pretty situation, right. I literally, like, I've never, like, I considered moving for a girl, you know, but in, even in my craziest, like, love-struck bullshit, I still was, like, gonna wait a year to do it, you know?
Right.
Like, he just got out of a relationship and, like, and was just coming off the heels of saying, like, I need to slow things down. I need to take some time to figure out who I am, and I'm going to, you know, do that.
There's and that, and there's this... also moving to another country with someone that you met. Like, that's stupid. You need to have, like, at least 10 solid... Well, that's if you're moving from the other country and you don't get to see him. But you need to have a good year together. It's just... The whole thing is ridiculous.
It couldn't be more ridiculous. So wait, so I think I mentioned this detail, but so when he goes, you know, he basically has a month left, and I go, like, all right, so when are we hanging out? And he's like, well, I'm going to Utah for 2 weeks. And I'm like, why the fuck are you going to Utah? And he goes, well, you know, because we're both really into snowboarding.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, I mentioned that already. And it's like, really? Well, are you? You have never snowboarded once, one time in the whole fucking 7 years I've known you. You are not, it's not like, oh yeah, Dan and his snowboarding, you know, like.
Is it obvious when you met her that she's a Jew? Maybe she's lying. Anybody thinking about this?
Well, she makes it very apparent that she's a Jew immediately.
So
she
does he.
Announces it. You know, she'll, like, you know, she makes things, conversations Jewy, you know?
Wow.
They do that.
They do that. they do, those people. But what else?
All the Jew holidays are coming up.
Was he not
you know that?
Now, how do you, now he's not talking to you guys. Is it out of embarrassment? Like, you guys are just going to bust my balls, fuck you, you don't get it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But in all honesty, I really do think part of, like, most of it is just, like, the horseshit love-struckiness of the fact that, like,
right.
We've found each other. We don't have to dick around with our friends anymore, you know, like,
right. I think that's a bad sign. When you drop all your friends, you're allowed to do that for, like, a month, I think, because you're so excited. And it is exciting, you know? But if you completely ignore your friends as an adult who should know better at this point, you're not 20 years old.
Yeah.
At 20 years old, you're like, but I love him! You know, it's like, that's your fucking excuse and reason for everything. But also that your friends are old enough that you can all go out together. Like, you don't always have to be in some kind of love fest scenario, you know?
Right.
So I don't... It's a bad sign.
And the fact that he's saying things, like, everything that he's going to, everything that he does now, he says in, like, the royal we third person, you know? Like, oh, we love snowboarding. And it's like, oh, do we?
I'm, you know, so, like, scared that I do that sometimes.
No, but, like, you don't, like, do scared. It a lot. Like, I've hung out with you, you know,
good,
as
I'm
an individual. And
every
and
once
Keith,
in a while, I'll think
about
it.
It's different, like... But, yeah, when I the only time I ever say, like, something about Haley, like, we, is when it's a fact. Like, we went out to dinner last night, you know? But, like, I don't ever purport her fucking ideas about what the way things are. Like, we both really love puppies, you know? Like, I don't do shit like that, you know? We don't believe in the Holocaust. Like, what?
Did you ever leave him a message? Like, all right, obviously we're not meeting up, so I gotta say this. What the fuck?
No, it was like he scheduled this huge, like, get together so that everybody could meet the girl,
right.
You know, and so we all did, but you
was
know it
there?
Was still
was he there?
yeah he was there. He shaved his beard for her.
Why? What, she doesn't like it?
But did he keep the sideburns?
no he's clean shaven now, so
he doesn't have
and I was
up.
Like, what the fuck's that about? And she was just like, I just don't like it, it's, you know, it's I don't like.
So
it's like, oh, okay, all right, well,
they're
so.
Buying property in Utah for the snowboarding,
I suppose so, yeah.
So he's not going to London?
No. Like, it's, like, going to be, like, a vacation spot.
Excuse me?
She's loaded.
Oh.
She has a lot of money. So, like, you know, and, like, Dan is going to London. He doesn't have the paperwork. He's not going to legally work. Like, he is going to make no money. He's just going...
He's going to do what McNally does over here.
To be, like, a sugar daddy. Or, no, what's the reverse of that? The... Sugar recipient.
Bitch, I think
bitch. The bitch. Yeah, I do believe that's what the
wait
word is.
A minute. So he's not going there legally?
No, I mean, he's, like, going to visit. Like, you know, he...
You can only stay, I think, what, 3 months when you visit somewhere? Or
a little
I
bit.
Don't know.
Yeah, there is a time limit, and if you don't have a return ticket, they might not accept you, right?
Think he should look into that?
whatever.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't just go to another country.
Well, look, if we can't step in, maybe the fucking Border Patrol will, you know?
But you know what'll happen, though?
The Border Patrol will smack some sense into Dan Allen.
That'll just speed up the marriage process, I think, you know? Like, I think people that, but this is so great. You can't
She certainly won't marry him unless he Jews it up.
Oh, that takes at least a year.
Like, that's a fact. Like, she's actually...
Is it
like,
hard
the way Dan tells it, it was like an adorable anecdote, like... Yeah, so, you know, it was, this, you know, it was a big deal, but, you know, we talked and we laughed about it later. When she told the story, there was like a fury in her eyes about like the fact that he wasn't really Jewish and that was going to have to be rectified.
Oh, I'm sorry, you know? I missed that. This has been covered.
Oh, he told her. Like, he's not still pretending to be Jewish.
Oh, I thought he was.
No.
Okay,
no.
And you guys are like, what's for dinner, potato latkes?
So, but here's the annoying part for him, really, a lot of Jewish holidays happen in about a month. The Yom Kippur, which you have to fast for 24 hours. Sukkot, which you have to have a tent and eat in it. You know that one?
No.
You don't? You know that one, right?
Is she very religious? What's the matter? You know?
Well, if she's religious enough to, well...
That doesn't
mean
nothing.
She probably would fast, I think. If she goes to, like, Jew meetings, I don't know.
Was she in a cheeseburger when you guys were together?
No.
Is she kosher?
Not. I believe so, yeah.
If she's kosher, she's doing all those holidays. So a lot of them are coming up. There's a lot of, like, strict situations coming.
I didn't know you get to live in a tent. That's pretty awesome.
Not live in a tent, but...
It's not fun the way you think.
No, it's not at all.
It sounds great.
You should get him, like, a book. So, now you're a Jew.
Yeah. Jew for dummies.
All right, I want to talk about this while you're here. Enough about him. He's a mess.
Yeah.
We were talking about how you were telling Henda when you saw her that you were working at the Comedy Cellar also... For a total that night of four clubs you were working that night,
I had four spots that night, yes.
And you were saying you don't like doing that.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a newer situation to me that I, you know, am a viable enough commodity that I now can put in and get a bunch of spots.
This
everywhere.
Should be good news.
Yeah, oh, it is.
And all your top comedians are doing it. David Tell is taking a cab and going from one club to the other club.
Yeah, I don't know if he really does that so much these days, you know, but...
I don't know now with the Gong Show, but only because of time-wise, but he was absolutely doing it months ago.
Like, where would he go? Like, all I ever know Attell to do is do the Cellar and maybe Caroline's.
You know what, I know he does. I know he does, and I've seen other comedians.
I don't know about David Tell, but for sure, like, the Comedy Cellar people that, like, I have spoken to in the past, I don't know. I know that we've either spoken to them directly or we heard an interview that it is, like, from club to club. Oh, probably in the meetings where the clubs need to pay all comics more because a lot of comics
go to those?
We went to one or two of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We're interested in, like, how that works and everything.
I was there.
So, yeah,
it was back when we didn't even know each other.
Yeah,
adorable.
Yeah. We were when Ted Alexander spoke, and
who was hilarious last night? By the way,
I'm sure. Why not? Which one did he do? Was he in the gym again? Did he just start a gym membership?
No. He what did he
Is
do?
Is he on a diet?
No, he had a really good. No, he had a good. One of the things he said, he had something about not only will Barack Obama be the first black president, he will be the end of all white presidents. Because you know what they say.
Yeah.
And like,
once you
get it, it's cute, right?
Yeah, it's cute.
Then,
okay.
I thought it was fun.
Look forward to hearing it for 30 years. By the way, let me say this before we get into your clubs. Jeff Ross, a great comedian or the greatest comedian?
I think he's a pretty good comedian.
Right?
Right?
He's pretty good. Oh, I don't know. Hey, do you know that his aunt just died? 104 years old. Aunt Teak. Yeah. Oh, he has another aunt. Don't feel too bad. She's 107. Aunt Sester. He used to go to the park, and his aunt would point to statues and go, I fucked him, because she's real, real old.
Are you just making jokes about the fact that his act is outdated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, those are actually, that's from his act.
That's his act. 15 years doing the same fucking thing. Now
he does those jokes?
Yes. Yeah. Now, is that person more of a comedian than I am? I say nay, Jesse. I say nay. Now, the ball's on me.
What?
I think I am more of a comedian than Jeffrey Ross. That's what I think.
A stand-up, you mean?
More of a stand-up comedian. And I mean that. So take that to your meetings.
What? When did I come in?
You are a stand-up comedian snob.
Right.
And I dare you to tell me that Jeffrey Ross, the famous Jeffrey Ross, is more of a stand-up comedian, and I perform only once a year, than Keith Malley. I dare you.
In fairness, I would probably enjoy your show more.
Thank you. Thank you. Point, Keith.
But that doesn't mean that he's not also a stand-up comedian.
Sure he is. Sure he is. You know what? Dane Cook is also funny. I read an article about Chris Rock. And they go, what do you think about Dane Cook and shit like that? And he goes, Chris Rock says, Dane Cook's funny. And the writer of the article said, like, well, okay, well, maybe you can't say it. I can't. He's not fucking funny. Okay, anyway, next question. He's like, let me tell you something. His audience is, you know, these girls, like college girls or 16-year-old girls. So he's funny if he's making somebody laugh. Then everybody's funny. My dad's hilarious. Everybody's making somebody laugh.
Yeah, I don't agree with that whole, like, well, you know, funny's funny. You know, if people are laughing, then he's doing his job. Like, that's horseshit to me, you know? Right. Because you could, like, literally fucking shit your pants on stage and people would think it was funny, you know? Like, that, but that doesn't mean it's worth doing.
So I saw Jeff Ross's special very recently, and it upset me. It makes me think, what's the fucking point? What's the point of doing the same jokes for 15 years? How are you proud of yourself? Unless you're just like, to me, how are you proud of yourself?
Have you seen, it's a new one, it's called No Offense, he taped it in Jersey.
No, but I know they were just promoting it, but I didn't see it.
Oh, he's ready now. He didn't play Jersey a long time, you know why? He wasn't ready.
No, never, he said, never.
He wasn't ready. He's ready now, motherfucker. He's ready now. Oh, yeah, he'll play in Iraq, fuck the troops. Now he's ready for Jersey. He's ready. Antique was seasoned just right. Wait, is your head about to explode? Because mine did watching this piece of shit.
You mean, like, that antique joke was in the special that just
aired
the other day?
Wow. And that's every terrible. Other thing he ever fucking did. Maybe you didn't see the poems he did 15 years ago. You know how he does poems? Yeah, well, you could see him again in last night's special.
Right?
Yeah, it's his closure. They're so fucking good.
Really?
Now, that's a stand-up comic. You do so good. You get the honor, too, of working four clubs and getting in cabs and fucking spending your time at the bar, wasting money, trying to kill fucking time. Not a life. Not a life. And you didn't like it, and I don't blame you.
How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, getting back to the fact that I did four spots in the evening. Is that
How did you enjoy that?
It was stressful is all. Like, that's what it was.
Would you still do that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would. Maybe it's like getting used to it or whatever. But like,
you think because you have to?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. My entire now that I am like marginally successful,
right.
I have this guilty complex where I am constantly doing things because 6 years ago me would be pissed at me if I didn't do those things. You know, when I was like a shitty broke waiter and I was like really hoping for stage time. If 6 years ago me had overheard me saying, you're like, yeah, I'm going to turn down a couple of these spots. I would have punched myself in the dick, you know? So,
What's the end game for you as a comedian? Just being a comedian, doing four clubs, or doing arena shows every month, or
I'd like to be doing theaters, you know, eventually down the road, like kind of what Brian Regan does, or, you know,
what do you mean? Like you are, the headliner at like a 300 seater or something like that. Is that?
No, I mean, like, you know, being like Brigadoon, like the musical.
Oh, my God.
No, like, yeah, Brian Regan, he goes into town for like a night and sells out like the Orpheum in.
How many seats that?
You know, like 3,000, you know, like that kind of thing. Like,
okay. You ever see?
Or like Lewis Black, you know, how you guys saw him at like that 7,000 seater or whatever. Like, that is what I
would. That was like a 10,000 seater. He sold almost 8,000 tickets. I didn't even know he was that popular.
You ever see a logging truck going one way, and then you see a logging truck go the other way, and you're like, why don't they just fucking call each other? You know what I mean? Work that shit out.
You got logs? So, I like that joke. That's funny. You don't like Brian Regan?
I do like it, but I hear these things way too much. I don't really follow him, and I hear he's... It's me! This is my problem that I need to get over somehow. But yes, I would like something new. If you have his CD, you have his stuff for the last 10 years and the upcoming 10. I don't think that's fair.
Brian Regan's writing stuff, you know? But, like, you know, it's a very slow burn to write shit. Like, you saw Comedian, right?
Right. It's also hard to make movies, so let's keep remaking them all. That shouldn't disgust you, fan of movies.
What? Why am I the representative of all things you hate today?
You're the comic here.
All right. Fine. Deal.
But also you
I'm a fucking scumbag.
But no, also you have a lot to say about what stand-up comedy is. You know, you're very passionate about it, and I think that's why he gets passionate with you about it.
Well, like, did you like,
like Ted Alexandro, for example, who we were bitching about last time you were here, isn't gonna, there's not gonna be the Ted Alexandro show. There just isn't. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Is that what he's hoping for? Because he's, I think he reached his ceiling. Is he happy now?
Well, I don't think
he looks fucking miserable.
I think it's like a constant, like, build. You have to at least be content about the progress you have made, but you're always kind of looking toward the, you know, like, look at Seinfeld and Comedian, you know? He was like a squirrely nutbag, like, watching him try to rewrite or try to write a brand new hour.
You know that that offended me, too? I did like
it did.
I did
yes,
like
I
that
did
movie,
know that. And we've never even talked about it. But I knew that it offended.
I liked the movie, and it's one of the few ones that I really liked.
I've never seen it. I have to catch it. I think
I really like the commentary. It's him and who's the dude from Tough Crowd? Colin Quinn.
Yes,
did the commentary. It's very funny, and they pick on that douchebag from it,
Orny
Adams. Yeah, but anyway,
Adam.
That the
Ornosky.
Whole world. That the whole world was making such a big deal. And Seinfeld's not going to tell his airplane jokes anymore? I would think so. 15 years, you got to come up with a new joke? Yes. 10 tracks are on a fucking CD. Quit milking it. You know what I mean? You didn't write the Bible and you're starting over.
Well, but, you know, you come from the school of you never tell the same joke twice and you only do it once a year. But for those of us who, like, you hone... the material.
There's other comics. Your David Crosses start with new shit every year.
Yeah, but they don't. They always have their own their shit that they know that works to fall back on and or to like open and close with. You know, like those bits, even though they're new to you, have been honed over
a period
of months at a club. You know?
I believe it. But then find the middle ground. Stop at the point. I don't know. You do, but I can't tell. That Greg, I wouldn't say Greg Giraldo, for example, repeats things all the time. How's he able to, you know? Trick me. I like to be tricked.
Right.
I know there's comics that aren't doing it, and there's
but
the mass.
You know that Greg Giraldo, every time he enters a club, isn't saying brand new material.
Of course.
But you're just
he still knows the line. He's
you're
not going to do
keep
it.
Keep it fresh.
If you did a movie special. You're done with that shit, I think, is safe to say.
I would agree. If you record it. Like in a special, then yeah, then
thank you.
Don't do those jokes anymore.
Jesse Joyce despises Jeff Ross.
God, that is so cathartic to get that off your chest. Yeah, I feel so much better now that that's off your chest.
He went to a, he had a movie audition today.
Jesse Joyce,
Jesse
not
Joyce.
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross, doubt it.
Yeah, fuck that
he's
guy.
Upsetting too many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to it. What was it for?
I don't even know, really, because I didn't get the entire script. I just got the particular scenes out of context, but it's some movie.
How often do you go to movie auditions?
Not that often with movies, like literally like maybe a couple a year, but like TV shit I go for, you know, with more frequency, you know. Like I told you, you know, I was like, I got a bunch of callbacks for that stupid caveman show. You remember that?
Oh,
that short-lived? Yeah, yeah.
With the Geico men, right?
Yeah, yeah. 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 And, like, I was really torn about it because I was like, I certainly don't want to be a fucking caveman on television. But the beauty of it is that, like, you have all that makeup. Like, nobody would really recognize that you sold out like that. You know?
I'm glad you feel that way because I was like, caveman show. Mm.
Oh, no. I knew it was retarded, okay. But it was also, like, a network sitcom.
When they call you back, do you go... Yeah, can I just be in the commercials? The commercials are funny. So,
can I put a bag over my face for the audition, even?
I was thinking about Bagman. I'm the caveman's friend.
Yeah. Like, I know that I won't sit in the makeup chair for a couple hours for this audition, but I'm just going to throw a bag over my face so you have no idea it's me doing this.
So I have one of the pages that he got, and we're going to...
You do?
We're going to do a little... I do. I took it from you earlier when you gave it to me.
Yeah, I don't know why you want to do this.
So we're going to... you're going to play Price because you played Price.
Yeah.
And I will be Jack.
Can you give us a little background about these characters?
I know so little about this whole thing, but I do know that the character that I was going up for is like a 38-year-old bitter stand-up comic.
Oh.
He's like a sardonic douche.
Was he a drinker?
And yes. Oh yeah.
Standard.
Yeah, and he's an alcoholic.
All right.
And he has a meltdown on stage in one of the scenes, and he like starts t- telling the crowd to fuck themselves.
Did you have to do that today?
Yeah.
Meltdown?
Yes, I did.
Oh, so. That's tough.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
I think I did all right. I don't
know. Did you cry on cue?
I faked it, yes. Like,
can you cry right now?
No, probably not. I mean, I could, maybe.
Come on.
I don't know.
What do you think about when you cry?
Well, I'm not, I don't know. Like, I'm fucking, no, it, no, I don't do
think
that
about
horseshit.
The
like,
people you
I
hurt
fucking
or
hate that. And, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but, like, I'd like to think I just was sort of born with the inherent talents to be entertaining, you know,
right.
Really. Like, I don't, like, and I'm sure people do get stuff out of acting classes, but for the most part, like, my Ray went to acting class. And he'd come back and he'd tell me what the... And, like, that's just so fucking dumb. Like,
I was a lot of
like,
dumb shit.
Oh, like, they had him, like... Did you ever go on?
Yeah. I went to a couple. It was always, like, a free one. Like, I won in some contest or something. So I'd go and you would have things like, okay, now look at her and express to her that you just lost your job without saying words and facial movements.
Like, see, that's stupid, but yeah. I imagine if a class is good, it's really just getting you used to memorizing dialogue and conveying it with another person, just like getting used to
I had to stretch my mouth. I had to stretch my mouth. And they loved this. And I'd be like, I don't understand the stretch in the mouth. And then the other people in the class, they like to laugh because it's their way of kissing ass to this guy,
right.
Who's a fucking failed actor, by the way. You know, it's not Robert De Niro teaching the class. It's somebody that never made it, who was taught by somebody that never made it.
Right.
On the other end of it, I wouldn't want to go to singing lessons because I'm like, well, I either know how to sing or I don't.
But the word
that's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah.
But the word kissing ass is weird. Like, this guy isn't going to help you, and you have to laugh at me. So, you know what? It's weird when I see people in this world kiss ass to people that it doesn't really matter. Like, I would see it at the gym. A dude pays their gym membership. I pay my gym membership. And some, you know, like the guys putting back weights. I remember a guy was putting back weights and goes, people leave their weights out. Dummies. Dumbbells. I call them dummies. And then a dude would be like, yeah, they're dumb, right? Me, I'm Bob. Like, what am I going to do? Give you a free workout? Yeah. Just weird kiss-ass world we live in. That what's the fucking point?
Everyone wants to be liked.
You went up and you were like, this guy's a fucking nobody.
Yeah,
this
right.
Dude can't help you out.
That's right.
Why are you playing his game? Fuck that guy.
And then I explain why I was better than him.
There you go.
Nice. And then you get Jesse to second it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, like, I remember, like, friends of mine, they would go on these fucking acting, and, like, they'd, like, literally, like, they'd give them, like, a fucking brick or, like, a soda can, and Right. They're like, this is your baby who just died.
Oh, my God.
And they'd have to, like...
Like, does
what
he...
What the
does
fuck?
How'd he turn into a brick?
Yeah.
That's where I would take the scene.
I don't know, that's probably what killed him, right. Most likely.
He's very...
The brick transformation.
Is this rigor mortis?
I know babies CSI. Can't survive as a brick, so maybe that's what killed him.
Yeah, we had to walk around, like, do this without talking, you know, in case Silent Films comes back. Well, I wouldn't be in the talking movies.
Yeah.
Those are the movies I want to be in. Have you ever been in a full-length movie?
No, I have not, actually.
That's interesting.
So that's what this one is.
One of us have.
Oh! Ooh!
Keith wins.
What was that?
It's called Crushed. It's a horror movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who were you?
I was the douchebag friend that thinks he's better than everybody else.
Did you get axed in half or anything?
I
you got your eyeball drilled out, didn't you?
I got my brain drilled right in the middle of my forehead. Drilled right to the head, yeah. Should be out fairly soon.
Nice.
It was very realistic.
Yeah.
This was recently you just did this?
Well, it's low budget, so he actually took a drill to my head.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Yeah.
We told all these stories when I got back. But
and I had twin babies, but we had to use bricks because we couldn't afford it. So, and I was like, fuck, I'm glad these classes paid off.
They make
finally.
Sense now.
Yeah, now I figured it out.
They're gonna drill my head, and then this girl's like lobotomizing me, and to do it, apparently, you need Clorox. So anyway, she puts this drill in, then she's gonna put Clorox in my brain. So she's about to put it in my brain, and then the director stops it for a second and says to the whatever friend of a friend was the grip or whatever, or the assistant, and I was saying, did you... You dumped out the Clorox and put water in that, right? She's like, what?
Oh, my God.
So they almost put Clorox in my eye. Then she goes and dumps the Clorox out and then puts water in. And the director's like, you cleaned that out. Yeah, and the same thing. I'm like, you cleaned that out first, right? Yeah, I dumped it out. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with everybody?
Wow. Oh, my God. That's horrendous.
Yeah, have so you, I'm really freaking out. Yeah, it looks like it's good acting, but I really think there's probably Clorox in my fucking eye.
Have you ever even worked on a movie? Yeah, yeah, I worked on The Crow. I was the weapons handler.
Right.
That's what I did.
Oh, my God.
All right, so the point is
I don't think you ever told that story because that's really shocking to me. Yeah.
I am a professional.
Nice.
And if somebody, if Jeremy's around, let me know what that is where we told all the movie stories.
Oh, what show that is. Also, you can find some clips on YouTube of you in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Crushed and Keith Malley does it.
Yeah.
I was aces. I don't mind saying. another quick story. This is when I was in Texas, and this is where they were doing a scene where they had a car wash behind the scene. And
when were you in Texas? That was where they were shooting the movie?
That's where they were shooting the movie, right.
Wow, so they flew you to Texas for this shit.
Yes, yes.
Holy shit. All right.
And there's a car wash in the background, and a regular guy, has nothing to do with anything. You know, it's not a big deal. We can't block off roads or anything legally. So a guy is washing his truck, and that's kind of ruining the scene. And so another assistant walks over to him.
And pours Clorox in his eye.
At worst, believe it or not. Asks him to leave. The guy says, well, I have to finish washing my truck. And he goes, no, you probably should leave now, as he pulls a gun out that we were using in another scene from his back waistband.
It's a prop gun, right?
I believe it's a prop gun. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. And starts like waving it at him. Like as he's talking to him. Instead of pointing it, I'm going to shoot you. It's like, you see, I had this gun. The police, of course, are called. And
you know what? Of all places
and then
we
got
that,
police in our scene. So that worked out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Of all places to do that, Texas is not the place to fucking, like, balk on having with a fake gun. Check it out. I got a gun in my waistband. It's like, oh, yeah, I got a shotgun in my trunk. And then, yeah, that could go badly for that dude.
Was I in Dallas or Houston? I almost had trouble going there because they go, what city? I'm like, geez, I don't know.
Right?
Texas, what's the matter to me? I don't know.
I'm forgetting because you kept switching it as
I'll just walk around Texas. I'm sure I'll run into it. what could go wrong? Yeah. Wow.
Right.
You know what? Incidentally, we did that too. We had a movie that we made in high school where like it involved some
chasing.
You were
in Dallas because that's where our live show was, and we went back to where the guy was.
Right. Oh, right. Okay. So. Dallas, Jeremy says I shot the parts around, 2006? April 2006.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's just, my dad worked at the university that I went to when I was in high school. And so we had, I knew the campus really well. So we actually, we were doing this movie in high school where there was, like a chase scene with plastic guns that we'd spray painted, you know?
Right.
We're chasing each other around in this, particular building with the guns. And we were just fucking a-holes. Like, we just didn't. And so, we round a corner, and there were, two of the university cops with their guns drawn. Like, get the fuck. Because, we never told anybody we were going to be doing that. So, all of a sudden, we're just running around the campus with weapons.
And you weren't filming it or anything?
Yeah, we were. But it's not like we had, a four-camera shoot and a bunch of. It was just a couple high school kids with a fucking video camera.
Okay, the point is, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I think this will be good.
Yeah.
So, so do you want to give him a little information about the character?
I thought I...
Yeah.
Is that all done?
Yeah.
So we already know?
It's a comic who is, kind of a...
I mean, where's the scene take place?
Oh.
Well, I don't know. Which scene are you doing here?
Page 10. We're going to work with page 10.
Oh, all right. This is they're at their annual, paintball game or whatever. These guys are... They're approaching 40.
When you read this, are you like, I remember when I ran around with a gun. I'll be good at this.
No, I see. That's the thing. It's I don't necessarily, have to invoke any sort of past experience.
You're that good?
No, but that's, one technique of acting, you know?
I think about the last acting role I did when I do an acting role. And that helps me get into character, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
it's like Mad Libs.
Yeah, so when you get cast in Hamlet, you're like, when do you put the Drano in my eye?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the drill that's going to be?
I'm always a step behind. All right, so you'll be Price, and I will be Jack. Hemda will be Amber.
Do I have a script?
You don't need it. You don't have lines, but just that we know you're Amber, I think will help things move
along.
Thank
you.
Amber?
Right.
Okay. There's no Amber.
Well, it says you. I hope you didn't say that in your audition. Okay.
Well, Amber's not. No, there's no Amber on this page.
All right, we'll see. I'm going to start with Jack. Okay.
All right.
We got into that fight outside O'Malley's that time. Well, not really a fight.
By the time he was my age, my dad had a wife and kids and wore old man pants. And then I get hit with a stray paintball. Yeah. Fuck. I'm already out.
So I made plans with Amber. Drinks.
What, like a date?
No! No. But there is, I don't know, something when we hang out. You know, like, something's there. I add, oh, by the way, I should say this before we continue.
You will
I
stay add, from the script.
I add to my scenes a lot of times.
All right, nice. That's yes. All right, I had no idea. Good.
But your name's on this, so you want to, you know, give as much time as you can. Directors appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Input. Yeah. They appreciate when you do input. Not one of, I did not say one line that was written in my movie script on the movie Crush, and I think the director appreciates it.
You know what I did? I walked in, and I had the script in my hand, and I just,
you just wrinkled it
and crumbled it up. I threw it at his forehead, right. And I said, I'm going to do what I wrote.
Yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
You worry about lighting.
You do whatever the fuck it is that you do.
I'll worry about price.
I'm going to do my thing.
You'll take credit for my shit again.
Well, you know what I do?
Yeah.
I would go in, and they go, okay, can you read for me? And I would go, oh, you got into that fight outside O'Malley's at one time. Well, not really a fight. And then I do the other character, too. And I go, by the time he was my age, and they'll go, no, we'll read that to you. I'm like, I got them all.
Yeah.
I can do them all.
I'm going to do all the characters.
You tell me which one I do the best, and I'll be that person.
Nice.
All right. So, no, I don't know. Something happens when we hang out.
Something what?
I'm out! Are you fucking kidding me? This game, it's dumb. I changed it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So. Do you you sleep with her?
No, well, I slept with her, but I didn't sleep with her. Oh, God, Price, 39 years, I finally find her, and she's in quarantine. I don't know what that means, though. What's the statute of limitations on wooing your dead childhood friend's widow? You know, I have no idea what the fuck I'm even talking about.
Something tells me some of that was...
Yeah, that was a little strayed from
this. This isn't like how the movie starts, right? Because that'd be dumb.
No, yeah, it starts actually right here, right in the middle.
Wow, that's weird. You don't really know what's happening.
Reason. And then it's like it's shot out of sequence, too, like Tarantino.
Did you have this much of a dialogue between you and the person reading with you? No.
No?
Okay.
In fact, that is the one thing that's kind of infuriating when you do this kind of thing. The other person just like fucking...
They go...
Like, goes out of their way to read it with absolutely no fucking emotion whatsoever, you know?
So I made plans with Amber. Drinks. Your turn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they're trying to fuck you. Like, work with me a little
bit. Yeah, it's just like, so did you kill my dad? You know? Like,
yeah.
Did I kill your dad? No, I didn't kill your dad. You know? And it's like,
right.
I'm under the impression that you killed my dad. I didn't fucking kill your dad. So I have
And who cares? You don't give a fuck anyway. Yeah, listen to you.
Yeah. My dad is the most important person in my world, and you killed my dad. That's what it's like. Anyway.
Yes. How did I do?
You did extremely well. I'm going to give you the part.
Thank you.
Was that the
whole
thing?
I'm going to call up the... No, that's just... Well,
it's a short movie.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very short movie.
That's how I like them.
It's 48 seconds.
But I think we explained it good.
But there's room for a sequel.
Do you die? Does Price die in this one, or you don't know?
No, but he goes in the hospital for some reason, in a fight or whatever. So, which is in line with me.
Is this a comedy?
Yeah, I believe it's kind of a dark comedy.
It didn't seem so funny to me.
Nah, that's one scene.
But. Wait a minute. Did you say it's not so far like you used to get into fights when you were drunk?
No, as in, like, it's very likely in reality if I were to get into a fight that I'd end up in the hospital.
Oh,
so I'm saying that fits my character.
All right.
So
Jeremy's asking, did the Virginia Tech kid write this? Who's the writer on this project?
Yeah.
Jeremy's also saying the two shows regarding the movie Crushed. Number 261, Airplane Jokes, and number 387, Crushed. I guess that was something I could have guessed that one.
What is Airplane Jokes? What does that have to do with anything?
That's what I named the show. I apparently was on an airplane from Texas, I guess.
Oh, okay. Right. I gotcha.
Or as doing...
How very original, comedically, by the way. You and Jeff Ross should go fucking do a special together. You got some airplane jokes for you? What is the food, Tiny?
It is so
weird
small.
That you gotta put the chair back up.
That's like, what's gonna stop everything.
The seatbelts? Is that gonna save us if we crash?
Oh my God, those are his jokes. I'm not kidding. Those were on the Jeff Ross special.
Come on, no, they weren't.
No,
really?
I swear to God. No, I swear to right, babe. The seatbelt.
I zoned out sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
That airplane seatbelt joke.
Where he sits at the back of the plane, where there's no, you know that the one right in front of the bathroom, so then he's smelling the bathroom all the time.
Well, you ever notice? I don't know, right? But you ever notice that?
Ironically, those jokes are around before airplanes. That's how old they are.
They're flying an airplane, and they like, oh, we're on 2,200 feet, and I'm like, why don't you just do what you gotta do? You know, what do I gotta tell you? I'm gonna run up there and co-pilot with you.
Yeah,
well, I think you should make a left at the West Coast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is that one of his jokes?
Seinfeld.
Oh, Seinfeld.
Rich. The peanuts come in tiny bags.
It's God forbid we ask for two packets of that.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. Don't wake me up when I'm sleeping to ask me for the drink cart. If I need drinks, trust me, everybody wants the drink carts looking for the drink cart.
You know
I'm
what, though?
Sleeping. Did I look uncomfortable to you?
I think comics changed airplanes then because I used to get woken up and now I don't get woken up.
And you think it's because you really
think
that it
was, I think it's because comics, yes. I'm going to take this one, gentlemen. You will not take this away from me.
It could have been.
Well, God bless stand-up comedy then, huh? Changing
travel. Isn't that more fun to go along with my
stupid dick joke at a time?
Thank you.
Jeff Ross and Seinfeld will keep repeating their jokes over and over again until society changes.
But I thought Seinfeld... I thought Seinfeld doesn't repeat, right?
Well, no, I mean, no, he did for years.
It was fascinating what he did. It was fascinating.
Oh,
he did for years, and then, so, like, the point being that he, I'm telling you for the last time, he scrapped every joke he's ever written.
Whoa!
And he was starting over, with nothing. So, that's what I think is one of the more interesting scenes in the documentary is, I think it's Gary Shandling who's talking to him, or maybe it's Jay Leno, but either one of them is, like, explaining to him, that like or asking him so like the next time after that show then the next time you went on stage like how much time did you do and he was like I think it was like 5 minutes and he said and you had like nothing prepared you had no so like that's kind of a fascinating that you have no safety net whatsoever like I don't know if I necessarily have the balls to just go on stage like I did the very first time not knowing if anything will work
but he So he did write it, but if something was going wrong, like a lot of times when something goes wrong, a comic goes to his bit that he knows will work.
Yeah, exactly,
okay,
right? So, just go up with, like, from start to finish with all shit that he has never tried on stage before. That's kind of ballsy.
It's ballsy, except if you're in a position that Seinfeld is at the time that he scrapped everything, everyone wants to like you, so it's a little less ballsy than if you
Well, they even address that in the movie, the first couple minutes, you do get that sort of grace period where you get the famous, like, oh my God, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, because...
But then after that, you do have to...
Well, we saw Dane Cook, he just showed up at the Cellar, and before he even spoke, people were laughing. It should have annoyed him how the set was going because you get a certain amount of fame and it's like, can you just wait until I actually tell the joke so that it is actually funny for you?
Well, that's why Steve Martin quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said he couldn't tell if he was funny anymore. So,
but could we tell him now that he's not? He can't tell now?
Yeah, well, he had to wait till Bowfinger came out before he was sure.
Well,
and
Keith
now
used
he's pretty sure he's not funny anymore.
Keith used to, when I met him, he was doing We met at an open mic, and for the first year, he was doing all new stuff just like before he was famous, like Seinfeld. All new stuff, 8 minutes every week. Like, it was, maybe you didn't hit the 8 minute mark, but it was like at least 6 minutes every week, right?
Right.
Of brand new stuff every week.
Between 6 and 8.
Yeah. And he did pretty well. Just saying. That's how I met him.
She's a big fan of yours.
I like her. Yeah. I'll take her. Oh, well. So, in conclusion, Jeff Ross, boo.
That's your conclusion.
Jerry Seinfeld, boo.
Did you always think Jerry Seinfeld boo?
He's fine enough. His one CD of 20 that took 25 years to write it was good.
In fairness, yeah, I did think that too. Is that like this special had better be fucking great, given that this is 25 years to write an hour, you know?
Yeah.
Seinfeld, the show, though, was brilliant.
I mean, Cab Drivers, right, and you're starting to realize Larry David was the brilliant.
Did you know that they, I forget, it's some, one of my
Not to say Seinfeld's nothing, I'm just saying what I didn't like how that whole thing was a big deal. I'm sorry, Jesse.
No, that, like, NBC, or one of them, one of the major networks, like, this past year offered Seinfeld a show, like, you know, like they were going to pay him something outrageous, like, you know, $5 million an episode or something, that he'd have his own show, which he turned down. But it was like, all right, so it's basically just you as Jerry Seinfeld, like now, just walking around New York, just like living. And it's like, well, yeah, that already exists. Right. That's fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, they literally are just that soulless that they're like, oh, hey, that Larry David guy's got a thing that's working. He was on Seinfeld.
Right, and everybody...
Let's get Seinfeld to do the same fucking thing.
Well, that's how TV just works. You get an idea, and then everyone just gets that idea also.
Let me explain to you, Jesse. Rating is a hard process.
I know.
It's not easy.
I've written.
But here's...
I've written. I'll write again.
Jerry Seinfeld's career, like, his choices make the most sense to me. It's amazing to me that people could make $100 million and have that in the bank, accumulating more interest and more money because they have all that, you know, residual whatever. And they still, like, I think it makes sense that he turns it down. He's like, you know what? I don't feel like working sitcom stuff.
Well, yeah, but in fairness, he just signed on to do the Microsoft campaign, and he's getting $10 million a commercial. So.
Wow.
So, but, you know, so, I mean, it's not like.
Wow. Wow. How did you. Wow.
Well, Greg from San Francisco is saying, I used to always get the shopping cart with the one fucked up wheel. Not anymore. Thanks, comics.
That's funny.
It'll still be funny if Greg says that joke for the next 20 years.
Yeah. So close with that, Greg. Close with it every time.
Did you watch, are you into the Democratic Convention at all, anything like that?
I
do you care?
So into it. No.
I love it.
I don't know.
Nothing's being said. Everybody's cheering. I don't know what anybody learns.
Who's it for? Like, I don't
I'm
know already
who it's
a
for.
Democrat. Like, fine. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, good.
Like obviously.
Balloons, whatever. Like, I'm already going to do whatever. You know, like,
right.
I got two choices. You know, it's like.
You're not going to blow it on stage.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
Hillary Clinton's not going to come out and go, just kidding. Fuck Barack. Bye.
You know what, though, got me? The fucking balloons.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. Like,
flag colors.
Yeah. You know what we need to do? Like, I know that the two candidates have already been selected. So now we just fucking wait. Like, it's not like John McCain is going to change anybody's fucking mind, nor is Barack Obama going to change anybody's fucking mind. Everyone has already decided which way they're going to go with it. So now it's like, let's get balloons with taxpayer money. That's what we need to do. Balloons! Can we get somebody put together a Springsteen medley? And balloons! It's just so self-congratulatory and just horseshit masturbating on stage.
Is.
It's like, who are you celebrating to?
And I love Barack Obama. Never mind, I saw a girl drown, and I laughed, and I... We're cheering.
And really,
we're cheering,
like,
Ted Kennedy. He's a fucking murderer.
Yeah, but, like, it doesn't... Who the fuck he selects as, like... Like, that vice president, I don't really need to... What am I gonna...
Right.
It's not gonna swing me either way, you know, like...
I like to know he likes to have fun.
Yeah, but, like, you know, short of Barack Obama picking, like, Ray as his running mate, my fucking, you know, orangutan roommate, which would make me go like, Jesus, that guy can't even fucking pay a cable bill. If the president dies, I don't want that guy fucking in charge of the country. Like, short of that, like, yeah, fine, okay, whatever, all right, we got that guy, good. But, like, I now don't need to hear, like, well, what does he got to say? Like,
mate.
What does he look like on a podium with balloons?
Well, I saw a little bit yesterday, and we were saying this. The new thing, by the way, is change. To change things up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that's what you
missed. Angle there, fucking...
You can change things up. Out with the old.
Yeah.
And with the, what are you going to think? I know I watched it and you didn't. But out with the old and with the, what do you think? Blank. Like, if this was Family Feud, we asked 100 people.
Yeah.
Out with the old and with the blank.
Older?
No. But don't worry. All next right. round, scores are quadrupled in anybody's fucking game.
Okay.
It doesn't even matter if you were trying. But so, we were looking, actually, number one answer was new.
New?
Not soup. We're looking new. For new. And with the new. But anyway, you didn't old watch it. Old. It doesn't matter. So,
like,
so anyway,
wait,
we're going to do
wait,
this.
Wait, that doesn't even make sense. Like, the
old
the African
gone.
Antelope with the fucking twisty horns?
You know how everybody's
in
with
the
new?
You know how everybody's life is tough?
That's a GNU joke, a GNU, new, and you guys just, that's kind of, right? Out with the old, in with the new.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hmm.
I was continuing the fucking,
you
never
can take
mind.
The comic out of the club. But you can't take the blank. By the way, Greg, you know, wrote in with the shopping cart joke, and
yes.
Something dumb wrote, "Oh, that was good, Greg. Can I have that joke? You gonna use that? What's that like hanging out with comics? Oh, is that a thought or a joke? Are you gonna use that?"
That happens. Yeah.
Oh, I'd shoot
That's
myself.
Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, I miss it.
I've done it too, though. You know, like, there have been times where you know, somebody else has brought up something amusing in a they bring up a fact that happened in their lives, and then I come up with the funny thing about it, and so then I will, like, diplomatically later go, like, "Do you mind if I fucking..."
Oh, but it's to a comic? Like, you're talking to a comic, and that's why you have to ask, because if it's a regular person, then you,
joke. Yeah, yeah, no, if it's a comic, I mean...
Did a comic ever give you shit, like, "No, that's mine, because it was from my life"?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
You said that
Did
you were
understand?
On a popular TV show all about you, And meanwhile, you're just doing Seinfeld stuff.
Well, no, I mean, like, a good example is Ray had this situation happen to him on the road.
Your roommate.
Yeah. And I came up with something really funny about it. And I, you know, did that. I mentioned it to him. And I said, you should really talk about that. And he was like, yeah, all right, maybe, you know. Mm. And he just fucking never did. And he never did. And I keep, like, I really knew a way to make this a really good bit.
Right.
And he just sat on it forever.
What an
He was
asshole.
Like, never going to do it on stage. And so we actually put a timeline. I said, like, you have until, you know, January.
You don't mind if you don't do it. You just don't want to see it wasted.
Yeah, exactly. It was just going to get wasted. And I knew I could do something with it. So I said, like, listen, you have till January 2006 to make this joke happen. And he didn't. The timeline came and went. And so I now do it on stage. And it goes well.
It's a doozy.
But does it upset him?
Yeah, yeah. Now he acts like he fucking... He's like, well, yeah, I wrote that. And it's like, no, you fucking didn't. You experienced it.
Is it too late to let him use that joke now?
Yeah. Oh, he can't use it now.
Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
What a
lie. He had fucking 2 years to do it.
Can I tell you, half of Keith's stand-up that you see every year, half those fucking jokes are mine. And he doesn't even ask me.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I just say it right
In
before.
Fact, it makes me mad because, like, only sometimes. This is the way it makes me mad because somebody will come up to me after, you know what my favorite joke was? This, and I'm like, that's fucking mine.
Yeah.
But I can't explain it the other way. Like, yeah, I didn't understand this 5 minutes. I know it! That was him does! Of course, people. Everybody doesn't throw parties. How would you get that?
I actually find that flattering. I don't usually get upset about it. Like,
no, I don't really get upset. Like I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah, like if I write a line for another dude and it gets like a huge or whatever, you know, or something like that. Like I'm kind of honored.
No,
I am
used to it already because even if I say the joke on this show, a lot of times he'll get the credit because people consider him the funny guy and me the straight person.
But also,
and so sometimes it will come out of my mouth, but he'll get the credit when people write in.
But if Hemda really talks shit about somebody, I'm also the one who said it.
Yeah. Like right. if I say something really bad, they'll be like, and Keith, you shouldn't have said that. And it's like, no, I said that, but I'm considered the nice person. So.
Right.
Yeah. It's really weird.
And I think from now on, if you guys ever say anything shitty about British people,
oh, right.
I'm going to be the
right.
one who gets the shit.
No, they think it's me.
Oh, do they? All right.
No, they always think it's the hosts. You guys have a free pass, you guests.
Oh, right. D-Warrior is mentioning something like, I guess this has to do with how we're getting married for a year. And he says, half of Keith's jokes will soon be Hemda's anyway, like once we get a divorce.
That's true, right? You got to be careful. They get to take everything. They get to take everything.
Yeah,
people are wondering, of course, what jokes on this last CD were Hemda's. The I will rape you joke and nerds. She hates nerds.
I don't think you have to disclose that. Fuck them.
Hey, to summer things up real quick, Dr. Dre's son died, 20 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Found dead over the
Takes
weekend.
Takes away the street, man.
Andre R. Young Jr., it's something shady it looks like, had been out with his friends the night before and was discovered in his bed by his mother at 10:24 a.m. He got home at 5:30 a.m. that same morning. She found him unresponsive and called paramedics. They have to do a bunch of tests to figure out what's going on.
I hope that doesn't make Dr. Dre angry now.
Young Jr. was the subject of a paternity dispute. Oh, his real name. Dr. Dre was the subject of a paternity dispute in 1990 when his mother filed a lawsuit against...
One second.
Yes.
I can hear that, Jesse.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Everything that you do is mic'd right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if you noticed that thing in front of you was a microphone.
Let me just put it down.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The kid was the subject of a paternity dispute in 1990 when his mother filed a lawsuit against Dr. Dre in Orange County Superior Court seeking $5,000 a month child support. She said in the suit that although the dad promised to support their then 2-year-old son before his birth, she had received only a small amount of cash, a few gifts, and diapers during their 4-year relationship.
Does this have to do with his death?
They just like to add this in that there was a problem that Dr. Dre didn't really acknowledge the kid. Dr. Dre, who was 25 at the time, admitted being the father of the child, but said he promised to pay only $500 a month in support. Dr. Dre was working on his final album, Detox. It was called his last album. Oh, it definitely
Detox,
is.
And then his son is what? What did he die of?
They don't know yet, but he got home at 5:30 in the morning. I'm
natural
sorry to talk.
Causes.
Natural causes. Natural causes. Yeah. Let me tell you what this aunt I have, okay?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. How'd she die? 104. How'd she die?
Motorcycle accident.
She died of motorcycle accident, not wearing a helmet. Skydiving. How'd she die?
Comedy.
By the way, that was another Jeff Ross joke. You could find that on Comedy
Oh, was that
Central.
Really?
Yes. Yep. He's doing Come Jeff on. Ross jokes.
I thought you knew that. One of them is motorcycle.
Is yeah. it really?
Absolutely.
And is it actually the motorcycle?
Yes.
Yes.
Dude.
Right after skydiving. I know the order, too. We can't change
them
up.
It's just like a greatest hits of fucking, you know, shitty Comedy Zone gigs.
Mm-hmm. Hello. And the big news. Hemda, actually, before yesterday's show, brought this up. Because people say, watch out, I did it. Barack Obama is going to be assassinated because he's black. And
I asked Keith yesterday, like, when we were off there, just like, by the way, do you really think that just because a president is black, like, he'll have more, like, it have, like, a bigger target on him? Or, like, there's always, you know, there's always something that...
Kind of said, if it's not that, it's something else.
Yeah, and there's something that somebody wants to kill the president over, I think, because he's a huge target. Right. He represents a lot for people.
And I thought, why not? It's just one more thing. Like, you're already doing what would piss people off. Now it's one more thing. You're something different. So I said, why not? So you figure, you know, that's it. Just a little conversation. And then, authorities in suburban Aurora had stopped a pickup truck for swerving between lanes early Sunday morning in what they thought was a routine drunk driving incident. But the rented vehicle of Theron Gartrell, a 28-year-old convicted felon, in his car they found two high-powered scope rifles, ammunition, sighting scopes, radios, a cell phone, a bulletproof vest, wigs, drugs including meth, and fake IDs. Under questioning, Gartrell implicated two other men, Nathan Johnson, 32, and Sean Adolph, 33, and Johnson's girlfriend, Natasha Gromack. Johnson also reportedly confirmed the plot to FBI and Secret Service interrogators.
Wow, he's the worst secret keeper.
They were trying to kill. Asked if this had anything to do with you coming to Denver to kill Obama, he said yes.
That, wow.
Jesse's writing something down.
Yeah, it's secret keeping. I got a story I got to tell you after we talk
okay.
about it.
Okay. I'm not going into that now, but, like, you can't, like, what, you can't have a name like Adolf and not be expected to be a fuck-up.
One of the men, Adolf, reportedly wore a ring with a Nazi swastika.
Oh, wow.
He was injured when he jumped out of a hotel window fleeing Secret Service agents. All of them are now in custody on drug and weapons charges. The U.S. attorney handling the case stated that there was never a credible threat against Obama. You know, except for the part where he said, yes, I'm going to kill Obama.
And the ammunition.
Well, but there really is a long way to go between saying
that doesn't mean it's not a threat.
When you're a fucking cracker in a meth lab, you know, like, and then actually somehow finding a way to accomplish it and outsmart.
Do you ever think it's not that fucking hard? I only saw the picture, but Barack Obama was walking, doing his campaigning, and of course there's Secret Service type people, bodyguards, watching things, but they're watching from far away, and that douche Johnny Fairplay, who I just know from reality shows, but I guess he won one of the seasons of Survivor, jumped out in front and just went to the camera, thumbs up, hey, picture, I'm a douche, okay guys, don't hit me, I'm leaving, and left. It is extremely easy to kill these people.
Oh my God, that's really?
Yes.
Why would you even put your life in danger like that?
Because I got a picture with the soon-to-be president, maybe.
That's crazy. I wouldn't have the balls to do that.
Well, you're not Johnny Fairplay.
Right, that's true. Right.
Fair enough.
But yeah. It's not. If you got the weapons and you got the balls, I don't think it's so hard. Not now. I don't think so.
Do you have the statement that that fucking cracker said to
exactly
the cops?
What he said, no. Just they say he said it. His answer was in the affirmative. So somehow
they were
yes.
reading it on CNN. And
oh, really?
And I was telling him to this before that, like, if it's one thing that really pisses me off, it's not like it is hate speech that's grammatically incorrect. Like right. That is even more infuriating than regular grammatically incorrect.
You're mad they're not focused on their hate. Like, get your words right.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like, I think that's sort of. A paradox. I don't think you're going to really find a articulate racist necessarily, but
right. No, you can't say that.
What, is that really? Is that bigoted of me to say that racists are inarticulate?
You know, it'd be funny if I get a hate letter about that.
right.
Let me tell you something. You will find every semicolon in its right place.
Dear sir, you are a faggot.
Well, how about...
And an infidel.
And that is why you cannot equate the two. Go fuck yourself in hell, faggot.
Are you kidding me? How about all, like, so many of the people in power who are articulate enough, they do a lot of hating on their day-to-day.
I guess.
That's crazy. Right. That's like those who do drugs don't know how to... No. There's a lot of coke happening over there.
All right, woman, you want to stand up for racists?
Fair enough. I'm going to stay in my corner. But
I stand up for facts, okay?
But does his statement, is there quotes saying, yes, I came to kill Obama?
Oh, yeah, but it just basically... No, not... It doesn't flat out say that fact, but it says, blacks ain't allowed in politics. Blacks shouldn't be in politics. Blacks ain't never going to be in politics. Blacks ain't never done been in politics. And
totally coincidentally, I'm going to the National Democratic Convention.
Them should all be killed. Yeah,
it's like, well, he wasn't there. Maybe that's why Obama's now... Like, he was there last night, but in TV form. So somebody tries to snipe the TV set.
I fucking hate balloons. I'm going to fuck me up some balloons.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the balloons are either to make it harder to shoot, or dummies love balloons, and usually your big racists are dummies. And so they're like, motherfucker,
you're dead. High-powered sniper rifles have a really hard time penetrating balloons.
But my point is, I think he'll just love the balloons. Be like, oh, it's a party.
I got you.
About the racist being inarticulate, Soccer Mom says Mel Gibson is the president of the Articulate Racist Club.
Right.
And D. Warrior says, I don't know German, but I'm going to guess Hitler was articulate.
I don't know. I don't know if he...
Everybody loves that one. He was brilliant. Yeah, right. It could have been another dude.
I think that Hitler was a good public speaker, but whether or not... I don't speak German either, so I can't vouch for his grammatical correctness.
I've heard some of it. The whole point was about their grammar. I can't understand a fucking word.
It's crazy. Do you know what's crazy also? I don't know if you know this. It's like a little dumb piece of trivia, but do you know what the first televised broadcast of any kind was?
Mein Kampf.
No, that's a book. Oh. It was a Hitler speech was the very first thing ever broadcast on the airwaves on television. So thusly, according to that bullshit, you know, like according to like the way that television, radio, airwaves travel or whatever, technically speaking,
we have
if you had a receiver like somewhere in the depths of outer space, the very first radio or televised signal that will hit them is Hitler. So like that's the very first thing that anybody's ever going to see on television.
I like that. Keep them in line.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Just know you're not, just know it's not a fucking free for all. You can't just step on us with your giant alien feet.
Yeah. This earth is orderly.
Let me tell you something about Hitler. Think about this. Okay, there's two guys. One guy fucks his mother daily, steals from friends and shits in your mouth. Okay? Another guy, real nice, friendly, loves his mother, your mother, always there to give a helping hand. Guess what? You're wrong. The one that rapes was George Washington. The other one was Hitler.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
Think about it. Think about it.
What?
Jesse Joyce. MySpace.com/Jesse Joyce.
Wait, I'm sorry. I really have to... Are we Bolton here?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this is just funny. This is like really quick. So I was at Greg's house the other day, like out toward the Hamptons or whatever, and he has this like douchey neighbor.
Greg who? Do we know him?
Geraldo.
Oh, okay.
So he has this douchey neighbor that is like a sitcom neighbor. He just like fucking walks into his house and goes into his fridge, you know, like a...
He thinks he's on Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. He's like really like a fucking walking cartoon, you know, and he's like kind of a burnout or whatever. But like he has a kid who's the same age as Greg's kid. So he brings his kid over and then he just comes and like pals around like dudes, you know, like, and it's irritating. Anyway, this guy is such a burnout. And he goes, so I'm talking to him and I go, so what do you do? And he goes, well, I don't really, you know, I don't really work. I'm on disability. I just take care of the daughter. My wife's got a good job, my girlfriend's got a good job, so that's what I pretty much do. But I sell weed by the pound. And, yeah, I got a guy in Portland, Oregon. He FedExes it to me. And, you know, that's how I get it normally. But I also got a guy who's got a plane, and so he'll fly me in 49 pounds at a time because 50 is a federal offense, but he'll fly in 49. But loose lips sink ships. I swear to God, that's what he said to me. He like pats my shoulder and goes, but loose lips sink ships. And it's like, You're a fucking total stranger, and you just told me your entire drug-selling operation. Like, why is the onus on me not to sink your fucking ship? Like, I don't even fucking know you, dude. It was crazy to me.
Like, you know what? I don't like being told those things. I will have a guest that I'll go like, oh, I know a fucking secret about you, and I'm going to talk about this on the show. And then they go, and then they tell me the secret.
And not then, on the show.
Then they tell me the secret not on the show and goes, by the way, let's keep that between us. It's like, God damn it. An example is somebody came on the show and they had a nose job. And I knew it. And I'm going to say this on the show. And I'm like, this will be something we talk about. And right before the show, they go, by the way, some years ago I had a nose job. And I'm happy I did it. But, you know, I don't like admitting it. Don't bring that up, by the way. Okay, here we go. It's like, why did you take that away from me? Don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
You know, I do know. I'm going to guess. Quiet.
Yeah, but this is almost even worse because this guy just disclosed it all to me.
Yours is worse.
And then told me.
Keith just said how his tactics for being a scumbag. Yours right. is about a drug dealer. and this is a good point that Lebowski brings up. He just told a guy who goes on a regular on radio regularly, great fucking drug dealer. Right. He's telling Greg. I'm assuming it's in front of Greg Giraldo too, and he knows.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he's
never mind radio show. You're a comic. You're gonna say it on stage.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is like, a lot of times people are like, I hope this doesn't wind up. You know, I hope you don't put me in your act.
Yeah.
And like 99% of the time, it's like, well, you're fucking not interesting enough to put him in my act. But it's like, you know, but what I really want to disclaim is like, well, as long as you don't say anything retarded, we'll be cool. But then, sure enough, like this guy goes, he tells me everything about how he deals drugs. But you know, loose lips sink ships, and it's like a 40s, like a World War II phrase too. Like,
right.
All right, well, you know. Let's keep this under the table betwixt us. Douche.
Because you're an accomplice now.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
By the way, just to stop a future emails coming in, being told that the Hitler speech was broadcast into space. Yes, it was never broadcasted per se.
Oh.
And it's for the Olympics.
Well, I was partially right. And so, but I'm glad we cleared this up now so that some fucking dickhead kid didn't write a paper about it and get kicked out of school.
All right, jessejoyce.com, yes. myspace.com/jessejoyce, J-E-S-S-E. Joyce.
J-O-Y-C-E.
Yes.
He's going to be in Sagapuntos this week on Thursday. That's in the Eastville Comedy Club, 85 East 4th Street and 2nd Avenue. But he travels a lot, and he's probably coming to a town near you.
Yeah.
Or your town.
Philly is coming up. I know that.
Yeah. There's always, like, if you're in the
place.
U.S. especially, he's coming towards you. Just go look up
his... If you dwell in a location, I will probably end up there.
Yeah, definitely see him. One of my favorite comedians. I've seen him live. I get a CD, too, Joyce to the World. You won't regret it.
That always kills. Joyce to the World is always like, oh, that's I always want to go, oh, that's clever. And then I'm like, I already said that. Also, nice. If you want to get free things from Keith and the Girl, go to keithandthegirl.com/free. And if you're in London or in the area, we're going to be doing a live show on October 11th, keithandthegirl.com/events.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. It was good being here.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Ran into a guy I went to high school with, Steve. Steve was famous in high school because he was able to fillet himself. He could do it to himself. And when that came out in high school, everybody thought that was awesome for some reason. Like, all the guys were like, dude, that is so great. If I could do that, I'd never leave my house. But it's like, really, would you if you could? I don't know. I don't think I would. I've never tried. And the reason I've never tried is I think that any pleasure that I might derive from the sensation of having a mouth on my penis would be immediately canceled out by the sensation of having a penis in my mouth. Sure, Steve, you're getting blown, but you're also blowing. No, thank you. That's weird. So I live in New York City now, which is cool. It's a great place to live, unless you speak English, and then it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard to get stuff done there. I had to go to a Home Depot to fix up the apartment recently. Simple enough, right? Not in New York, no. See, because there it's just a minimum wage job. So everybody that works at the Home Depot in New York City has been living in the country since their shift started. Yeah, you can't even ask them simple questions like, hey, can I use this paint indoors and outdoors? Not this paint! Yeah, I know that it's paint, Gomez. I just said that. I need to know, can I use it indoors and outdoors? You're going to need a brush! Yeah, I will need a brush, Gomez, but that's a hammer. That's not going to help me right now. Yeah, can I talk to a manager? Okay, manager! Manager comes over. What's his problem with brush? That took 3 weeks to paint the apartment with a hammer. That was a pain in the ass. Cool.